So we're back on our sermon series about the healthy missional markers of the church. And these healthy missional markers come out of Scripture, and they help us to understand a way of measuring congregational vitality. And vitality simply means life, the life of God within our church. And we use these markers to align ourselves and our ministries with the heart of Jesus. And so this journey of vitality, or life as we might say, is really led by the Spirit. So our hope is that we would follow the Holy Spirit wherever the Spirit leads. And today, the missional marker is called heartfelt worship. So I want you to do this. Take a deep breath and then let it out. Let's try this one more time. Take a deep breath and then let it out. So we're told that we breathe 23,000 breaths every day. That's a lot of breaths. But think about this. When was the last time that you thanked God for a breath? You know, we often thank God for the things that take our breath away, right? Those amazing God sightings that we see. But what about those amazing things like taking a simple breath every day? You know, it's a physiological wonder that we can bring in this oxygen and breathe out this carbon dioxide 23,000 times every day. So the idea is, you know, there's a lot of things in our lives, little things that we can give thanks for. And so the Old Testament, David in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he says this. He says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And so let's try this. I'm going to invite us to take a deep breath again, but as I do, I'm going to say, "Let everything that has breath," so we're going to say that, and then when we exhale, all together we'll say, "Praise the Lord." So we inhale with, "Let everything that has breath," and then together, "Praise the Lord." All right, we're getting pretty good at this. So we want to talk about today about heartfelt worship. Psalm 138, David, he says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart." You know, what does that really mean, to praise the Lord with all my heart? Have you ever left a worship service and you felt that somehow you know that God actually showed up there? That you sensed the presence of God in some, like, tangible way that it's really hard to explain, but you just know? Or that you sense the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking something directly from the Scripture or from the message or from a song, like it was right for you and like it spoke to your heart, or that you could feel and understand that somehow leaving worship, you were different, that you were changed because God showed up. Well, Doreen Strode says, there's something about the act of heartfelt worship that brings on alignment within us. Now, we talk about aligning our heart with the heart of Jesus. And so when we do this, we somehow behold the glory of God. Somehow we behold that fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Somehow we behold that we have a place with the risen Christ in his kingdom. You know, when we talk about worship, you know, the ultimate worship leader, Cheryl, you're really good, but the ultimate worship leader is Jesus himself. You know, the Son of God, the Word made flesh. You know, Jesus, he comes and worships and interacts with this woman at the well. And in this process, we understand his words are not just ancient words from 2,000 years ago, just for that woman at that point, but these are words that speak to us and speak about our worship and the life that we have. So let's see. Go back to these words and see what's taking place. So the woman said, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." So it's interesting that this woman, instead of engaging with Jesus on this very personal and very intimate level, she gets somewhat uncomfortable with that conversation because, you know, it is an uncomfortable conversation, and she changes the subject. She decides, let's go talk about something that's not quite so personal, maybe something more religious, like where should we worship? Some say here, some say there. You know, and here's the thing. When we try to make worship something other than about God, like maybe the music or the message or the cookies or the coffee, well, then we're actually sabotaging what it means to be in real, heartfelt worship. So what that brings us to our first priority or our first point for today, and it's that we exalt and celebrate God for who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. That's a lot to celebrate, isn't it? That's a lot of many reasons to worship. So the gospel episode makes it clear that the woman was, Jesus tells the woman, it's not actually about location or any other thing that we tend to make worship about sometimes. Instead, he said, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." So basically, he's answering her question, saying the Jews, you know, they kind of got it right. You Samaritans, not so much. But that really isn't what is most important. Jesus is pointing to something that's about to shift for all worshipers. So I was looking at the Chick students to see if you caught that word. There's something that is about to shift in this worship service. See, at Chick, we spent a week talking about a shift, how God is helping us to shift and align our hearts with the heart of Jesus. And so Jesus is saying in worship, something is about to shift. You know, earlier I said that we try to make worship about something other than God, and when we're doing that, we're actually sabotaging real worship. And so let me clarify this a little bit. Jesus is having this uncomfortable conversation, and she wants to talk about something else, like, you know, something religious. And Jesus comes right back around to that uncomfortable conversation and saying that times are changing. And what's going on here in worship is really about what's going on in her heart. What's going on right here is the important aspect of worship. And so the question becomes for every one of us, how is your relationship with Jesus? How is your relationship with each other? That's really what's going to affect our worship. Jesus is saying, do you want to do this right? Then you cannot hide in worship. To really, truly worship God, we bring our whole selves, our full selves, our selves that God knows every intimate detail about, the depths of our soul. Yeah, the good stuff and the bad stuff. We bring it all before Jesus and offer ourselves wholly to God and say, God, here I am. You are worthy. I worship you. It's about opening our heart to God. And here's the takeaway. Heartfelt worship means that you and I are dealing honestly and openly with God. Here I am, Lord. And that means heartfelt worship can be a little uncomfortable. It can, because when we position ourselves before the living God, it's an awesome thing, and it's a fearful thing, isn't it? I mean, a righteous, a true, a loving, a compassionate God, but also a holy God who is full of power. And we come before this creator of the universe, our very selves, to worship. And what do we have but ourselves? And so the uncomfortableness that we feel is normal because we're before an awesome God. But then we experience God's love and grace and forgiveness, and we begin then as a response to give our thanks to God. That's heartfelt worship. And in the midst of that, we're changed. We're made new. I had a professor that said that we should reserve the word awesome for this very moment, this act of worship, this description of God, because there's nothing in the whole universe that can compare with God. And awesome is the most awesome word to use. And so he said, don't ever use that word except when you're talking about God. Well, I do, but, you know, God is awesome. And I love the sound of this last verse. It says, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You know, most of us read this and we want to be those worshipers, right? And so have you ever wondered, what does it really mean to worship in spirit, to worship in truth? Well, the answer is worship in spirit and in truth is really all about, again, opening our hearts to God. It's really quite simple. Anything else is a diversion from true worship. So we're going to drill this down a little bit, asking some questions. What do we do to be available to God, to open our hearts to God through worship? And we open our hearts by, again, this first point. We exalt and celebrate God for who he is, for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do. So who is God? Well, the scripture says today, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. So Doreen Strode, who is the ECC former director of congregational something, she makes the curriculum for the church. She says, God is spirit and has made us in the image of God. So worship takes place in the spiritual aspect of our lives and is a matter of an integrity and reality. So let me put it another way. We wake up. It's Sunday morning. We hit the alarm clock. Clunk. It's a day for worship. Just hit the snooze button. It's going to be 5 more minutes. And so when we wake up, we get ready for church and we dress up in something, you know, fairly decent. And we drive through town or the country, wherever we are, and we wave and we smile at the other neighbors as they're getting up on Sunday morning. And we drive into the parking lot and we kindly give the other person that spot that is closest. Because, you know, we're at church and we smile and we come into the building and we greet others with a smile and it's a good morning and we have coffee and some pleasant, maybe superficial conversation and a smile. And then we try to beat the pastor into the sanctuary and find a place to sit. And then we visit all the people around us. We read the announcements on the wall and we sit quietly and smile. You guys are good. Then we get up and we sing our opening song, not too loud, but enough so that everybody knows we're participating. And we greet, we listen to scripture, we give our offering with a smile. There you go. We listen to the message, we even comment maybe as we leave, hey, pastor, not too bad. And we chat some more and we sign up for something that's going on the way out. For an upcoming project, and we head out the door and jump in our car and wave as we drive out of the parking lot with a smile. Does that sound like a typical Sunday morning? You know, I'm not suggesting that all that is bad. You know, it's not. It's fine. It's quite good. I like smiles, obviously. But if this is all that happens on Sunday morning, if that's it, we're missing out. It's not really heartfelt worship. It's not that healthy, missional marker kind of worship that comes right from the heart. So this isn't what Jesus was describing when he talked about worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. So let's look at this again. You know, these are the physical aspects of worship, right? They're necessary. We have to form, you know, form around. We have to have a form around our worship. And but we have to bring our real selves to God, that real person that God knows, that Jesus knows. And when we do that, then we begin to honor God and open ourselves up to God, open our hearts as true worshipers. So now what does this look like? So on Sunday morning, we get up, hit the alarm, and the snooze. 5 minutes later, we wake up, and we get ready for church, and we dress up in something nice. Not to impress someone, but just to honor God that, hey, I'm going to worship. I want to do my best for God. We drive through town in the country with a wave and a smile, because smiles are good. And we wave at the other neighbors in the morning and maybe offer up a prayer for them as we go. And then we consider how have we conducted our lives this week with our neighbors and with others. And is there a need for asking forgiveness and making right relationships with God. And if we need, we do that. We ask forgiveness for those who we've wronged. And we drive into the parking lot and we kindly give our spot to the person who's closest early in the morning because we want to do unto our neighbor as we do unto ourselves. We want to be obedient to Jesus as an act of worship. And we come into the building and greet others with a smile and a good morning because we are genuinely glad to see each other. We are glad to be together in the presence of God and the presence of the family of God. And so we have coffee and superficial conversation and a smile. And then we open ourselves up to maybe a little more honest conversation, a little deeper concern for one another. And maybe right there we pray for each other. Or maybe it's us who is in need and we ask for encouragement and we ask for help. And then we share our burdens in prayer. And then we try to beat the pastor into the sanctuary. We find our place. We sit down and we visit the people around us and we... Let's try that one more time. And we smile as we thank God for being compassionate and gracious and merciful to all of us. And then we get up and sing pretty loud because we know that we're part of something greater than ourselves as we come into the sanctuary to worship God. And we know that everyone present is desires to meet God. And then we listen to God's word because we know that it's life to us. And then we smile and we're privileged to be part of God's work in the world as we give our offering, hoping that God opens up doors to share the good news. And then we glorify God and make him known in the world. And we drive, we finish service, we sign up to help out because we know that we are making an impact for Christ. And then we drive out of the parking lot, and in the depths of our soul, we realize that in this time of worship together, we have encountered the living God. And in some way, some form, some fashion, we are different. God has met us, and God has changed our hearts. Does that look like worship on Sunday morning? I think that's a better picture of what heartfelt worship looks like. You know, God is looking for, searching out, true worshipers, you and I. So if we take another look at worship, this time from a little different angle, it's about posture. You know, the New Testament Greek word, I know in the Bible it talks about proskuneo. It's a posture of reverence. It's bowing down to worship. It comes from the root to kiss. So it's like you come before an ancient king, and what's the posture that you do? Well, when you come to a king in the ancient world, you don't just come up and say, "Hey, buddy, how's it going?" No, that would probably get your head chopped off. Instead, you come very reverently bowing down before the king in a prostrate manner. Now, we don't generally do this in church, but we could start if you want to. We can move the pews. But, you know, we don't generally bow down physically in our worship, but that's the attitude of the heart, that we come in this reverence and awe, that our spirit is bowed down before the Lord, that we are exalting and humbling, exalting him as we humble ourselves before the living God, because God is awesome and God is worthy of our worship. So as we talk about VBS and these God sightings, you know, that's a big part of our VBS, and the kids bring how they've seen God at work in their lives or something to be thankful for. It gives us a recognition of why we worship God. We worship God for who he is, for what he has done, for what he is doing, and we can't forget what God will do. And God is worthy of our worship. So the psalmist in 138, he continues, he says, "I will bow down before your holy temple and praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word." So God takes the initiative, and our response is a heartfelt worship. So our point two, we're going to run through these quick, is worship reflects careful preparation to help give voice to many dimensions of response to God, such as adoration, praise, contrition, lament, commitment. All these things are part of our worship service. So, you know, when we stop in the middle of singing songs, which is worship, we stop to, you know, confess our sins before God and ask for forgiveness, which is worship. And then we bring our offering to God, which is an act of worship. And we fellowship together and shake hands, which is part of our worship. And when we leave the sanctuary and we go out and sign up and serve in our world, we are doing worship. See, worship doesn't just happen here in the sanctuary, but worship happens every day throughout our lives, all of ourselves, all of our lives, is an act of worship before God. Jesus declared, point three is people leave worship knowing something more about the heart of God and about their own hearts. Responding to the woman, Jesus said, I, the one speaking to you, am he. And she discovers that Jesus, he is the Messiah. He is the one who changes everything. Heartfelt worship then centers on Jesus, Messiah. And when we meet him again, we are no longer the same. Author and pastor Tim Keller shares all the many ways that we can center our lives and, center our lives and our identity upon. And the struggle really is that there are a lot of things that we can focus on. There are a lot of things that we can worship, if we will, that we can put at the center of our lives. And if we're honest, each one of us struggles with many of these or some of these or at least some aspect of each one of these. He says you might put your identity and life in a spouse or partner. Sounds good, doesn't it? To love your spouse. Scripture calls us to do that. But when we make that the center of our identity, we become emotionally dependent or jealous or controlling. Or if we center our lives on our family and children, which again is noble. It seems like a good thing, and it is a good thing, but not as the primary thing. When we do that, we try to live our lives through our children, and they end up resenting us, or they have no self-identity of their own. When we center our lives on our work and our career, which again, that's a good thing, right? We want to be productive. We want to sustain and support. But when we center our life on that, then we end up being a workaholic, or eventually we may even lose our families. Or when we center on money and possessions, we're eaten up by worry and jealousy. Or we center on pleasure and gratification, comfort, and then we become addicted to something. When we center it on relationships and approval, we're overly hurt by criticism, or we are afraid to confront others. When we are center our life on a noble cause, something that is worthwhile and worthy other than Christ, we divide our world into good and bad, and we demonize the person on the other side. And this is a difficult one. When we center our life on religion and morality, when we're doing good, we might become proud or self-righteous or even cruel. And when we're doing bad, we end up being eaten up by guilt because we are not living up to our very standard. So where do we center our lives? Well, at Bethlehem Church, we worship here by seeking to center our lives and identity on God, specifically the person of Jesus Christ, and to align our hearts with the heart of Jesus. So, and I believe that when we do this, that we are opening ourselves to moments of surprise. Have you ever been surprised in worship? Are you surprised that this is taking so long? Surprised when we're unexpectedly aware of the Holy Spirit's presence. All of a sudden, God shows up. What did I do? Nothing. God showed up. Or when we're surprised when a burden is suddenly lifted. Oh, I'm forgiven. Oh, man. Praise God. Surprised when God's love overwhelms us. Even when we thought things were good and all of a sudden, boom, we are just aware that we're a loved, beloved child. Or surprised when words like your sins are forgiven seek out that deep and holy place of healing in our hearts, in our depths. Or maybe we're surprised when we experience that praising the Lord actually brings us real joy. Who'd have thought? Or surprised when the Holy Scripture opens up his word and it's actually new life. It's like breathing life into our lives. It opens doors for us. Or when our hearts are open to hope again. And we're surprised because we didn't think it would come. Or when we're accepted by the family of God, when God provides and cares for us through the church. Or when we're surprised by grace, wonderful grace, amazing grace. So we're going to close up here with worship on this mountain. The woman was talking about worship on Mount Gerizim, and there was another mountain on the other side called Mount Ebal. So how do we have this divided up? Who's Mount Gerizim? You are Mount Gerizim. And you're the first person, and you're Mount Ebal on the other. And they would call out a response to one another of the word of God and reminding each other of this. And so on this side, I'm going to have this side say, when the word of God will work, get that, and then you guys are the response when our hearts are wide open to God. Does that sound right? So let's do this. Let's stand up and turn towards each other, Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. And here's the thing. We're in church, but you can shout this. Sound fun? All right. So face this side, face this way, this side, face this way, and you guys begin. The word of God will work in the people of God when our hearts are wide open to God. And the people of God will respond to the revelation of God when our hearts are wide open to God. And the Spirit of God will lead the people of God to build the kingdom of God when our hearts are wide open to God. All right. So I'm going to invite us, Cheryl, if you would come out. I'm going to invite us to close our session of worship here with a song, Cornerstone. We're going to sing the first verse, and as the praise team comes up, I wanted to just share an experience with Chick. We had Lecrae was one of the speakers there. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, he was really loud. And they had this sound system, you know, that would just blast the whole stadium. And in fact, you could actually feel, you know, the beats in your heart. My heart beat a couple extra times just because of the percussion that was going on. And so I actually brought some earplugs and I quietly stuck them in my ears because I couldn't handle it. My hearing's bad enough. And so I stuck those in my ears. And then they have these strobe lights flashing and there's lights going and all over the place. And it was so bright, I actually pulled out my sunglasses and put them on. So I have my sunglasses on, my earplugs in, and my hands are up, and I am praising God with the rest of them. To be honest, I have no idea what we were singing or saying. I'm not a rapper. But the presence of God was there. We were worshiping God. And the point is, we bring what we have. We bring who we are before a holy God. And in the midst of opening ourselves to God, we are changed. Our hearts are changed to the glory of God.